And I do not know how to make it possible. I only know that such holy company is extremely vital and essential in order to generate the supreme love in, of God in myself. I only know this, that the company of the holy ones is necessary in order that the supreme devotion to God may arise in my heart. How is this going to be possible? I don't know. And instead of saying I don't know, I am saying God's grace. And therefore, I am keeping myself ready, I am keeping myself open, I am keeping myself receptive, I am keeping myself eager for it to happen. Labhyate tat kripaya eva. And when such company is not possible, and perhaps even when such company is possible, because when you go to these holy ones, they will also make you read, study some scriptures, or what are scriptures? What makes a scripture? You know, the word Bible means book. Nothing more than that. But what makes this book the Bible? The book. The stories it contains. The lives of the great men, the prophets and so on that it contains. What is the authority for accepting the scripture as the authority? The acceptance of it by a holy person. It is the holy man that lends authority to the scripture. So, right? It is his life. If Swami Sivananda says that such and such a book inspired me, I also feel that that's a good book to read. And if Mahatma Gandhi has been saying that Bhagavad Gita inspired me, then you feel like taking up the Bhagavad Gita, feeling that it, if it served him as the authority, as a lamp unto his feet, it's possible that it may serve me also as lamp unto my feet. So, the scripture derives its validity and authority from the testimony of the holy ones. They are the ones that endow the scripture with validity and authority. And hence, even though the devotee is not bound by loka veda vyapara nyasaha, he is not bound by the code laid down by society or even by scriptures, the Vedas. He has sort of put them away, given them only that much of value that the devotion needs or demands. He does not engage himself in worldly activities more than is essential for the cultivation or the development of devotion to God or spiritual life. He is not interested in even in scriptural declarations or scriptural prescriptions any more than what is essential for his spiritual life. Yet, Narada says, Bhavatu nischayadardhyadurdvam shastra rakshanam. When you are still on the path, sort of struggling within yourself, take the help of scriptures. Take the help of scriptures while you are still, you know, confused on the haunts of a dilemma. At that time, don't reject all this. If you reject, then anyatha patitya shankaya. Anyatha patitya shankaya. If at that time you abandon scriptural guidance and the guidance of holy men, it's possible that you go down the drain. Once you have overcome all those things, all those dilemmas, and all those situations, and all those conflicting situations, once you are out of this division, and devotion has arisen in you, then they may drop away, they may not drop away, or you become the scripture. I can refer to him by name, so it's no problem. Because it's also referred to in the talks with Ramana Maharshi. I believe someone quoted Krishnamurti to him, Ramana Maharshi, and said Krishnamurti doesn't like the guru and all this. And Ramana Maharshi immediately asked, how did he know? That a guru is not necessary, and no authority is there, etc., etc. That's the statement. That was him, Krishnamurti's statement, which was relayed to Ramana Maharshi for his comment. And he merely said, how did he know? How did he come to that point?
Then why does he say that?
Why does who say? Krishnamurti. That's it. At that stage. That's it. So therefore, when it is confusing, don't take that as your authority.
It's fascinating.
When it is confusing, when you are on the horns of a dilemma, when you are in conflict, don't think of that. I must resolve this conflict. And I need somebody's help, even Krishnamurti's help, to resolve this conflict. And when you have resolved that conflict, suddenly you find that you are in devotion, you are in this devotion. And then, even then, you are not dropping all scripture altogether. That person becomes your authority. That is, you are saturated with that person's message. Or you yourself become the authority, scripture. It's possible that at one stage, if you are a follower of Ramana Maharshi or Krishnamurti or Vasishta, whatever it is, first you slowly, you are depending upon them, treating them as the authority. You can treat Krishnamurti as your authority, you can treat Ramana Maharshi as your authority, which you will do in any case, which you are doing in any case, right? The person who says, no, I don't want all this authority. Why? Because Krishnamurti says these authorities are dangerous. So at that point you need an authority. You are looking for an authority if you watch very carefully. But with the help of that, Vasishta, Ramana Maharshi, or Swami Shivananda, Aurobindo, or Krishnamurti, or any Muktananda, with that authority, you stabilize your spiritual life. I don't need any authority at all. I is the authority then. You are going to say the same thing that the other people said. And that itself becomes you are the authority. You, not the ego, not the mind, not the ego sense, but this enlightened intelligence within you becomes the authority. A candle is kindled from another candle, another light, and then it becomes light. That's all right. Very good. Beautiful. A candle doesn't burst into flame of its own accord. That's the idea, if that is clearly grasped. Either in this birth or in a previous birth or whatever it is, this candle has been set alight by contact with something else, with some fire. And once that has been kindled, then it becomes its own light. That's beautiful. There's no doubt about that. That is the message of Vasishtha, that is the message of Yajnavalkya, that is the message of Swami Shivananda, that is the message of Krishna, that is the message of everybody. Udhret Atmanatmanam Atmanam Avasadiyat, it's there in the Gita also. Elevate yourself by your own self. Don't depend upon anybody else. It's there in the Gita. But then, that is possible only when you have reached a certain stability, inner stability. If you are dingling, penduluming, if you are swinging like a pendulum, then you may need a sort of fulcrum to hold you there, so that in one swing you don't fly away from off the handle. And so, anyatha paditya shankaya. If you reject all authority of scriptures and so on, when you reject the authority of scriptures, you are naturally rejecting all authority of the holy men, etc., etc. When you do all that, then paditya shankaya is it. It's a very careful expression in the sutras. Anyatha paditya shankaya. There is a possibility of a downfall. It's possible that you are so key, so pure in yourself. It's possible that you are so pure in yourself. It's possible that you are so highly evolved, so highly sensitive, that without the need of an external guru, without the need of an external guide or teacher or scripture or whatever it is, and because you do not have an authority outside yourself, you reach enlightenment spontaneously, instantly. Ramana Maharshi had it, okay? That's okay. Even more than all the others, Ramana Maharshi is an excellent example. He had no guru, no nothing at all, none of that sort. He didn't read anything at all. But because he was so sensitive, and so highly evolved, that the mere feeling, I'm going to die, I'm dead. What does it mean to you? Nothing. But that put him into self-knowledge. So, it is not denied. Narada does not suggest that if you do not do this, you will go to hell. That expression does not occur here. If you do not have a satsanga, if you do not have a guru, if you do not have a scripture as your authority, you will go to hell. No. Anyatha paditya shankaya. If you do not have all these, it is possible that you may be misled. There is the possibility. There is a heavy possibility. So if you want to avoid this, better study a scripture and have satsanga. They are not, no, neither the scripture nor the holy company jumps on your shoulders and starts riding you, taking you for a joyride, no. Nobody compels you except yourself, right? Is that right? You can go to your Swami, you can go to Swami Satchitananda, you can go to all the holy men here. They don't take you're not a horse or a rabbit that they can take a whip and make you do something. No, no. You want to do it, you do it. If you don't want to do it, leave them and go somewhere else. You take up this Narada Bhakti Sutras. You study it, and if you watch very carefully, your mind accepts only what it wants to accept. So what do I mean by saying this is an authority? You see, there itself there's a contradiction, there's an anomaly. It is not that because I become his disciple, I'll follow him. No, 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 I'm not following him. Watch carefully. He is following only his own nose. I am following only my own nose. To the extent that his teachings are suitable to what I am looking for, I follow him. The moment he says, do that, I say, no, that's not good. I don't want to do it. I've been with the gurus and I've been with the disciples nearly all my life. I've never seen someone who could say that whatever you say, I'll do. Whatever you say, I'll do. It's very difficult. Because then, from within you, something is rebelling. No, no. That's not right. Or it's not possible for me to do. Or I'll at least persuade my guru to change his instructions. So, the whole thing is wrong. Someone who says, don't follow somebody else, he's saying something which is unnecessary. Nobody follows another. Nobody. It's tough, very tough training. If you are able to do that, you are enlightened. If you can get hold of one man, never mind you, your own husband. Right? Your own husband. Or your son. Anybody. And if you can honestly tell that person, your husband, your son, your brother, your father, your guru, anybody, and say, I'll do exactly what you say. From this moment, at that moment you are enlightened. You know why? You have crushed the ego and thrown it away. It doesn't matter at all. Then the guru doesn't matter. He could be the worst crook in the world. He could be anything in this world. If you have that much of total submission, your ego is gone and you are free. Such a person is free, and he can claim that he does not want any guru. He can claim that he is the guru. He can claim that somebody is the guru. All these are possible for him, right? Such a person may say that this chair is my guru. If you read the, I think the 11th book of the Bhagavatam, you find a story, a very nice story there. Someone who said, I treat all these as my guru. He says, I have 24 gurus. Water is my guru, the cloud is my guru, the mountain is my guru, the tree is my guru, the bird is my guru, snake is my guru. From all these I am learning lessons. And all these are scriptures. The whole world is an open scripture. If you can read, if you know how to read that language. Otherwise, better to read whatever you wish to read, knowing from each one of those things, your mind, your intelligence will pick up what it needs from day to day. Bhavatu nischaya dardhya urdvam shastra rakshanam anyatha patitya shankya. If all these aids are resorted to gradually, and all the other yoga practices that we have been describing all these 2 weeks are practiced, gradually what was limited, conditioned and finite love grows into infinite love. The love which had characteristics, which had limitations, becomes infinite and supreme love. That is bhakti.